So gang, we're gonna leave the lights like this today. We're all adults, we can close our eyes. Nobody's gonna shine a flashlight in your face. Let's start with an affirmation. It's one of my favorites. Who remembers Reverend Mary Alice Brown? She used to teach at the center on 58th Street. It's one of my first teachers. And she was 77. And she would run up and downstairs to show that she could. She did it well, better than I do. But she had an affirmation she taught us. And it was one of my favorites. It says, I am alive, alert, awake, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. My body knows it, and my body shows it. Let's say it together. I am alive, alert, awake, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. My body knows it, and my body shows it. And then she would yell at us because we hadn't done it quite right. So let's do it again. I am alive, alert, awake, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. My body knows it, and my body shows it. Take a breath. Or go on in. You can close your eyes, you can keep them open. You can do whatever you want. But we're going in, and as I always like to start a meditation with, the Christ in me is awake now. But what is the Christ but my memory of God? Christ is not a person, but a consciousness. My memory of life. My memory of health and well-being. My memory of harmony and understanding. That's what the Christ awakened in me is. So I say, the Christ in me is awake now. And those of you who care to, would you repeat that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. And so with that flame awakened in us right now, that light awakened in us now, that heat awakened in us now, that memory awakened in us now, we can breathe more actively, more consciously, more willingly. We know with that affirmation, things are happening. We don't know what's happening, but we know they are. And we know they are good. We've just called forth a divine healing. And that healing is my conscious awareness of my wholeness, my one with God. My one with my fellow beings. My one with myself. Awake now. And so knowing this, we're going to go in, all the way in, to become consciously aware of the healing taking place within us now. As I have affirmed the Christ in me is awake now, every bit of me is healing now in my oneness. Just take on that thought as best you remember it, and let's go on in. Thank you. So yes, we are alive, alert, awake, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. Our bodies and our minds know it, and they show it. We have affirmed the highest, and now we choose to live in it. Knowing that, we can bring our attention back here to the sanctuary, this place called unity. And we can be grateful and say thank you and amen.
Lynn, I love it when you cry. That is a very special song, yeah. And our voices in your repertoire. I bet some of you were singing along with that. It's very sacred for me, and I know it's very sacred for some of you. Over the past 25, or in April, 26 years, we have sung that song for, I couldn't begin to count the different situations that it was appropriate for. And one of those situations and instances is today. Because you'll never walk alone reminds us that we are never alone. We're not alone. We're never alone. And not just when we're together like this in our beautiful community right here. Good Mike. Today is called Unity in Action, Thrive in 25. And Leo has worked a little bit of Leo magic. Don't you play Jerry, what's his face?
Just the reveal.
Okay, just. Leo, would you play whatever you put together for us right now? I know it's.
So I'm pledging those of us who pledge.
So I pledge naturally each year.
Pledge at unityofyou.org.
Time. Pledge.
And then if you can't even pledge,
consider making a pledge to Unity of You.
Wow, that was to the point. Ladies and gentlemen, that was very cinematic. I love it. So we're gonna talk about pledging. And did you notice earlier in the announcements of what's going on at Unity of New York? Good mind. Did you notice a new face that was up there? Well, Lisa Sabin has joined. Lisa Sabin has joined. She's the newest member of our team, our office team at Unity of New York. Because we are manifestors, and I am a manifester. And Lisa, since we're going to reveal the 2025 Pledge Partnership.
Is it time?
Please. Okay.
May I have some entrance music, please? Yeah.
Another design by Leo. Colorful people lifting up the world. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. That's very WWE. Next round. And there's a really integral, important, she's an important part of whatever we do here. And that is Beck V. Becca, I'm making up names today. The Adrian is out there and Becca's in here, but also known as Becca V. And part of whatever we do with our pleasure, do you want, here's a beer. Good mic.
Good afternoon, everybody. All my friends are here today. I'm so grateful. I really appreciate Britt and Sean letting me have this moment to chime in a bit about Unity in Action and our campaign, our pledge partnership to Thrive in 25. Many of us here have been pledgers for a number of years and helped Unity of New York sustain our operations through consistent giving. So what is a pledge? It's a regularly scheduled withdrawal from your bank account through a check or a card. And once it's set up, it continues smoothly until you modify it. It's easy, it's safe, it feels great. And as a charitable donation, it is tax deductible. So why do we pledge? Well, for example, if you're at home today in your pajamas, getting ready to have that third cup of coffee, you can know that your pledge is already here in this room with us, on its way to help us do the work that we are all doing together. If you're traveling or away for any reason, your support remains consistent, an important placeholder to sustain this work that we do. Think about a pledge as a little seed being planted, growing and supporting our classes, our staff, the rent and the utilities, the chaplains, the musicians, and many outreach programs. And the pledge partnership will provide our board of trustees and leadership a dependable perspective to forecast our budget for this year and beyond, and to make more informed, loving decisions in stewardship and confidently plan for our future. So what does a pledge partner mean? Well, it means that you are taking an active role in the well-being and sustainability of our community. It's a special relationship, this word, partnership. It's more than just a financial transaction. A partnership exists when one person cares about, supports, and provides value to another, and vice versa. It's sharing our prosperity, our love, and our resources for the good of all. Just as we affirm our prayer at noon, we know our prosperity benefits all beings. The energy of our pledges generates light and encouragement within our community and radiates it out into the world. Today after service, the lovely Lisa Sabin and I will be at the pledge table right across from the welcome spot. You can ask a question or pick up a pledge form, and keep an eye on your email early next week because you'll get a personal invitation to join our partnership. So please stop by as you head out to get a snack for fellowship and join our team. Together we're going to thrive in 25. Thank you.
Thank you. Well said. As always, I have nothing left to say. I'm kidding. Someone else that is never without something to say is my friend, our friend, our staff minister, Reverend Sean Wallinger. Sean is another vital part of the pledge partnership every year. I don't even know how many of these we've done now.
Several.
To be specific.
A number. Hey, thank you first of all for that beautiful meditation.
You're welcome.
That was good stuff.
Thank you, and I want to thank you. Joyful noise. Not joyful noise, wrong church.
Edit
the choir. That was extraordinary. Thank you.
Yes.
Voices in unity.
Thank you. Remember. I can tell you your individual name is better.
Voices in unity.
But you're welcome. Pleasure to do that. I was so glad to think of Mary Alice Brown, one of my early, early teachers.
Yeah, she was a pistol.
She was something else.
She was a pistol. How old was she when she would just sprint up the
She was 77 when I was studying with her.
She would
she
sprint
lived
up
a lot
the
of
stairs at Unity Center.
She did. I had a match. She just ran right down those steps to the bookstore I was volunteering in.
Yeah.
She'd yell at us. But I used to think, why is she so angry? And then I realized she's passionate. She wants us to get this. But when Britt, for today's talk, said unity in action, and I said, well, how about if we extend it and say, because I knew it was about the pledge today, commitment to life. Because that's what I made when I stayed at Unity. When I came here and I was promised things, and I was promised life and life more abundantly. And you know, what's the John 10:10 quote? I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And I like that. Anybody? And so what is that thing? So a commitment to life. And that's part of the pledge. It's a form of pledge, it's another word, synonym we call them. And so that word pledge, we're financially pledging not to the church but to ourselves, because we are the church. But it's because I commit to life that there is so much I get to reap the benefits of by saying yes to life. And I don't have to know how it happens. I don't understand how my body works. I really don't. And some days it doesn't work so well, but that's because of my thinking. That's because of what I'm ignoring. Because I know when I came here, I had an instantaneous healing early on, I had a couple of them. My life changed radically with every principle that I was taught by my teachers. Every time I implemented one, my life was better. So I made more commitment, a greater commitment to this life that my teachers were offering me. And that's what they did. The Fillmores, Charles and Merle Fillmore, they offered life to those who studied with them. Why? Because it was offered to them, and they said yes to it. And their lives changed. If you don't know the story of Myrtle Fillmore, I really suggest you look it up. You can look it up online, How I Found Health by Myrtle Fillmore. And you'll get the story of where she was given a death sentence by doctors, but other people gave her life through a declaration. I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. And so she made a commitment to life and the living of it. For as long as life, which lasts another 45 years. And we're here today because of what Myrtle Fillmore said yes to, and then her husband Charles saw the difference, and he made that commitment, and his body changed radically. He had things amiss, which you can also read about if you haven't already, and his body shape-shifted by making a commitment to life. And so they made a commitment. I wish I had thought to bring it today. Their covenant. And they dedicated everything. They offered their home, their bodies, their money, their work, everything to the Society of Silent Unity, they called it. And in exchange, they expected their bodies, their money, and everything else, their home, everything. But they didn't want to make those things the objective for living. They wanted to make the life of spirit be the reason for living, because that was how they were going to live well. Would you agree?
I do agree. And Leo, could you work some magic and find the covenant of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore and see if we can read that? And
look where we have come.
I know.
I love this.
You know what?
It's amazing.
I'm so glad you shared what you just shared, Sean, because yes, we are here today on the shoulders of many, starting with Myrtle Fillmore and what she believed, mm-hmm. what she found, what she manifested. And what I always find interesting about the story of when they went to this lecture given by this man named E.B. Weeks in Kansas City, Missouri, back in the 1880s.
1886.
You win the car. It'll be outside.
We went to
a lot of classes. Yes, we did. What I find so interesting about that story of where it all began, she heard that affirmation, I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. And Leo, can I get another mic?
Sure.
Thanks.
Take Dakota.
Dakota.
Dakota, will you loan your mic?
Thank you. Okay, we're in business. When she heard, after being told that tuberculosis was inherited, she heard this affirmation, I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. And it struck at the very core of who she was. And as the story goes, as I've heard it, her husband sitting there right there with her didn't even hear it. He didn't hear that. It's like us, you know, we go places in our minds You know, right now you probably might be thinking of something else, or any number of things. And somebody else might hear one little thing and go, oh God, that's what I needed. Well, that's how unity was born. And so we're not only standing on the shoulders of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, we're here because we have said yes. We have made a commitment. Everybody here has made a commitment. It's just the commitment to show up today, to be here. Because we are standing in what some might consider a miracle. Because just a few months ago, when we held a town hall, informed everyone where we have been financially, by putting the energy out there and putting the information out there, you and many others stepped up. They're like, nah, this is my home. I forgot, you know, out of sight, out of mind, I forgot that I need to take care of it and nurture it and pay for it. And I believe that this particular pledge partnership, and it took years of me telling people it is not a campaign, it is not a drive, it is a partnership, it is an ownership. It is putting skin in the game. It is putting a dog in the race. It is stepping into the Red Sea so it can part.
That's what my whole self in. Yeah. Not just my rat foot.
Your whole self. Well, that's a perfect setup too. Would you like to read that if you're closer to it, or I can read it?
I'd be happy to. We, Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore, husband and wife, hereby dedicate ourselves, our time, our money, all we have, and all we expect to have, to the spirit of truth, and through it to the society of silent unity. It being understood and agreed that the said spirit of truth shall render unto us an equivalent for this dedication in peace of mind, health of body, wisdom, understanding, love, life, and an abundant supply of all things necessary to meet every want without our making any of these things the object of our existence, and the presence of the conscious mind of Christ Jesus, the 7th day of December, 1892, Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore. And I love all that, but all we expect to have. I was told it was safe to expect my good. That's the game I wanted to play, and that's why I stuck around. That's why I made a commitment to life. And in that, included in that commitment was to continue studying what unity offers, what new thought offers. And I it wasn't only about listening. I had to be an active participant. And I was taught I had to learn. I had to forgive anybody, any place that I couldn't. Now, I've learned over the years to talk about this, I don't actually forgive. Let's be very clear on this today. Let's say it together. I don't actually forgive. Forgiveness is an experience. And what it is the releasing of the need for it not to have happened.
Say that again, please, because that is so pivotal. Pivotal?
God, yes, it's pivotal.
I'm speaking British today. It's okay. I keep making up words. So, say that again.
Yeah. Forgiveness is an experience, and what it is the releasing of the need for the offense not to have happened. And so therefore, I don't need to go get 1 second older needing my parents to have done it differently. I don't need society to have done it one bit differently. Because here's the deal, they can't. They can't have done it differently. The only thing that can change is my thinking about that. And so that's how I experience forgiveness, by giving way for a new thought about everything. So my teachers taught me that was part of my commitment to life and life more abundantly, is I had to do that. Now I understand the resistance. It took me years and a lot of prayer to do that. And I still can develop new resentments on a daily basis. You know, oh, just let me somebody be rude at the grocery store. You know, but I have to keep giving way for a new thought about it. And then the other part was they told me to tithe. There's a reason. Now, some people don't want to tithe. They don't want to give 10% of their income to where they are spiritually fed. I get it. But what they were really teaching me about is giving.